Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung. What makes people happy? When we think about the future of our cities, we have to admit that it is no longer about iconographic architecture, but rather about the social responsibility of architects and urban planners. What makes a sustainable environment, and how can spaces be developed from urban space to private retreat so that it becomes better for the people who use it? How do we bring human scale back into the city, and what design tricks do we use to get people to get involved? In today's episode, we talk about what makes people happy and how architecture can influence people and society with our guest Benedetta Tagliabue from architecture firm Miralles Tagliabue EMBT. We are Diane
and Katrina from Jung. Benedetta is director of the international architecture studio Miralles Tagliabue EMBT, founded in 1994, together with Enrique Miralles. The studio is based in Barcelona and since 2010, also in Shanghai. Her work received several awards, and recently she joined the jury of the Pritzker Prize. Hello and welcome to our Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Nice to have you with us today, Benedetta.
Very happy to be here. Thank you.
Your office designs and builds worldwide. Your work on a wide range of projects, for small design objects to large public spaces, from high-rise buildings to railway station. Tell us something about your office and the approach to projects or to the design process.
Well, what you said, that our office designs from cities to all kind of public buildings to small interiors, this is something that we do because we like it. No, it's less boring. No, if you specialize in something, then you always do a kind of thing. But we have a tradition in Spain and Italy to be architects because we love designing. We love designing a better environment. So we have this kind of mission, and we love this idea that everything can be better. And that with design, with architecture, we can make the life of everybody a little better. So we are trying that all the time.
And happier.
Yeah, this is a point. No?
That makes us think of something Winston Churchill said. He said, "We shape our buildings, thereafter they shape us." What do you think about this statement?
It's fantastic, no, that a politician like Churchill said something like that. I believe it. I think the influence of architecture in our lives is so strong, and we don't really realize it because it's really something which is going underneath. No, we don't realize the strength of the environment on our way of behaving, of our character. But I really think architecture can do so much on society, can really influence. And of course, what we are trying is to influence in a very positive way. So what you have said until now, know that how can a built environment make people happier? This is, in fact, what we are now involved with, something of the things we are more focusing in our studio.
If we look at your projects, there are some terms that comes in our mind like color, form, but also identity and even poetry. So what is important for you when we talk about atmosphere and space?
You know, every time we make a project, we really try to understand the situation, and understanding is getting near. So we are kind of liking what is the new site or what is the new request from the client. And we try to respond in a way which is the one we think is the most intelligent, the one which gives the best answer. So I think inside of that, there is everything. And there is a possibility of reflecting the colors, because the colors is what makes reality. Of course, usually the drawings of the architects when we were studying at school, they were mainly black and white because we are making something very abstract. But we know at the end, this black and white drawings able to build a new reality, you know? It's so fantastic. I love the drawings of the architects because we have this capacity of reflecting reality in a line and then reinventing reality in another line. But this doesn't mean that we want to make a new reality in black and white. We would like to make a reality which is responding to life, and life is full of aspects.
Yeah, also watching an architect draw, it's not only what he draw, the result, but the step before that, to watch him create is very interesting.
You know, today I was very distracted because a friend of mine who was 96 died 2 days ago. And it was very surprising because the day before he died, an interview appeared on the newspaper. And it was very sweet because it was a beautiful interview. And it was like saying goodbye to everybody. No? His name was Federico Correa. And he was saying that he taught a lot during his life in universities, but he never wanted to give students an architectural book, an architectural text. He said, I didn't learn architecture from architectural books. I learned architecture from books, but books that I loved, because in literature and poetry, I found life. And at the end, what we have to learn as architects is about life. So it was so beautiful.
Benedetta, what influences beyond architecture determine your work?
I don't know. I think I had an influence maybe when I was very young, you know. I had this kind of curiosity towards reality. I thought reality was something I was so fascinated with, but I didn't know. And also I had this idealism of thinking about a beautiful society that maybe could be done, building small, beautiful houses that we could build together. I think this kind of desire, you know, a kind of a childhood desire, you know, every children is wishing to build a little house, no? Isn't it the strongest wish for a game? And I think this desire was the one that little by little brought me to say, okay, let's try and see what it could be becoming an architect.
And I think it's usually one of the first things kids are sketching. Like, it's always heaven, house, and trees. It's like always these three pictures.
It's incredible. I still have the strong feeling of wishing, oh, I would like now to start and build my own house. No? But I was drawing a lot when I was a child. I was drawing human beings. I was drawing women and men. So maybe I had both things.
Because with Lego bricks, we start with the kids, we actually also build houses. You wouldn't have the idea as a kid to build an animal with Lego bricks, right?
Yeah, you can build animals with Lego bricks. Now the Lego bricks are telling us that you can build everything. Also your own portrait.
You build human beings with the Lego bricks.
Yeah.
Talking about the human beings, let's move to a very special project, the Fundación Cálida. Can you tell us just briefly why this is the project of your heart?
It is a project of my heart now because it's so connected with our lives and with the life of so many people. And it's a beautiful idea, which is also very simple. To have a simple, small place next to a hospital where patients, especially cancer patients who are going through a treatment, can escape a little bit during a little while in the day and have a kind of a rest, a moment of peace. So I think this is a really beautiful theme so simple as it is, and it's making you thinking about what is it that makes people happier when you enter in a place which is open and which is in connection with nature and which is designed like a small house with a kitchen. And you start to ask yourself what it is in an architecture which makes you happier and people happier. So this is, I think, a very small project, but very, very big in ideas, which can really help us or can really help humanity to go towards a better built environment.
How did the idea of the Maggie Centers came about?
You know, Maggie Centers were invented in a way by Maggie, a lady called Maggie Keswick. She was the wife of Charles Jenks, and both together they were architects and especially landscape architects. And when she got a breast cancer, she had to go to the hospitals and she started to say, I don't know, I'm here to be cured and I feel offended in my soul because the environment is so ugly. I feel treated as a number. I don't feel my individuality, which is my strength. So this on one side is very good, but on the other side is terrible. So I really would like to have a place which will give you back what the hospital is taking away. Huh? So she was inventing, we could have a small house, a small place, which is in a connection with the garden, which is so important for me, which will be lovely and we'll have a kitchen as a first thing. So I could make a cup of tea, which makes me feel so better. And this simple idea became a reality. Then she fought very many years against cancer. And when she died, her husband and the nurse who was looking after her, they started this project and they made it become real. So Charles Jenks and Laura Lee, they became the president and the director of the Maggie Center project. And it's so beautiful, no? It's still the name of Maggie, and it is the idea of a woman.
Yeah, and there are beautiful projects like in many countries, no?
Yes, because let's say beauty and this integration of beautiful architecture with beautiful landscape was something which was the life of Maggie Keswick and Charles Jenks. And they had around them friends who had the same attitude. And their friends were like Frank Gehry, Richard Rogers, Norman Foster, Zaha Hadid. And so they started with their friends who were the best architects in the world. And they were giving them this response to say, okay, we are giving our idea, our proposal for answering the desire of Bangi, no? So it's so beautiful that each one of them gave a kind of a help to Maggie. And this help is actually helping so many other patients in all UK.
Yeah, that's right.
When we took a closer look at the project of the Fundación Cálida, we think it's worth mentioning that the interior and the exterior part merge seamlessly in this project. How is the building organized? Can you explain that a little closer?
Yeah, when we had this Fundación Cálida, at the beginning, it was nothing. It didn't have the name, it didn't have the place, it didn't have the budget, because it was only a group of women who went through breast cancer who would have liked to implement the same idea of the Maggie Center, which was working only in the UK. They wanted it in Barcelona. And they knew my story. My late husband died with a cancer, a brain cancer. And actually, we went in Houston and we found a similar place next to the hospital in Houston. And it was so important. It was so important. So at the beginning, the building didn't have a shape because it didn't have a place. It didn't have nothing. And little by little, at the beginning, we were saying, you know what? We would like to have a very colorful place with beautiful handmade bricks. This was the beginning of the idea. And then the Hospital São Paulo appeared and they gave a piece of land to build the building. Then we started to make a real project responding to the place. And the place was so strong because Hospital São Paulo has a modernistic, fantastic hospital, very full of color, very full of ceramic. So we were responding to that. And then when finally we had also a timetable to respond to, we set definitely the project. And we made a project which is a kind of forgetting the hospital, so letting the hospital behind. And it's opening like a van, like a fan, you know, towards the gardens. So you have gardens on many, many sides and towards the most beautiful part, which is the modernistic garden of the old hospital. So whatever you look from this new Cálida Center, you have a sight of beauty.
And it also sounds pretty welcoming, talking about hospital. You know, it's a hospital, but it's a building that welcomes the people who need to stay there.
Yes, it's not a hospital. Let's say inside the building, you cannot sleep or you cannot receive medicines, but you can go there. You can go there in waiting or to make a kind of alternative therapies, like a conversation with a psychologist or a yoga lesson or this kind of activities which are happening, and they are planning a lot of them, no? Like art therapy or this kind of things. So you're not really substituting the hospital. Of course, you have to go to the hospital, but you know that you have a kind of retreat, you know, you can go away, or maybe you're waiting for your oncological therapy to be ready or to wait for the results. And you can be there in a wonderful environment.
Yeah. So you can actually hop into another environment for some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think these are all like very energetic and very sensual places. It's more to just like gain some more energy for what is waiting for every patient.
I think energy is so important, because if you think, you know, what is the real cure of the human body, is you taking out the cure. Of course, you need some external secondary causes, which are the medicines, but at the end is you who have to react. And so if you are in a good mood or you are feeling energetically very well, I think this is the best situation to make the medicine work. So probably this is really important. Our intuition, especially the female intuition from Maggie, gives us this idea, no? The medicine will work better if we feel better. And these centers are starting to implement this.
Your personal energy is actually the basic best medicine you could actually give yourself.
I believe this. And we have to remember this, especially in this time of coronavirus that we seem to have forgotten. No, we are so kind of looking for an external enemy, when we all know since long time that what we have to do is to strengthen our inner strength, of course.
We were talking about the female influence on these Maggie centers, but there was, beside you, another woman was involved in the design, right? So Patricia Urquiola was responsible for the interior design. And the project from women for women, and therefore probably provided with a feminine understanding of aesthetic. How do women experience aesthetic differently to men? What would you say?
Well, first of all, I have to thank Patricia Urquiola. She's a good friend and she's wonderful. And we were sharing kind of juries together, events, and we always had a fantastic time together. And she was telling me, now I know my career is in a very good point. I have to tell you, I am missing to give to the others. So I proposed her and said, well, Patricia, would you like to help in a kind of a charity project? And I explained her this Maggie project. And she was enthusiastic and saying yes. And not only she worked with her taste and her fantastic capacity as interior designer, but also she convinced a lot of the company she's designing for to give presents. So immediately a building which was, you know, very poor because there is a little budget to build these buildings, received a presence of fantastic pieces of furniture, all designed by Patrizia. And we had the fantastic capacity of Patrizia of organizing all of them in the space. So that it's now it's a really luxury. I would love to have a house like that. I have a very austere house. First of all, because I'm an architect and the architect, we like to live in a difficult house, but also because we are kind of stingy. And then whatever we find in the market, we say, oh, I could have designed it myself. Of course, I could buy the sofa from someone else, but I can make a sofa by myself. And then you never do it. So you remain with no sofa. And I'm very happy this didn't happen to the Calida Center. So we have a lot of sofas and very soft chairs and beautiful carpets and everything is very cozy. Thanks to Patrizia Orchiola.
Yeah, also the organic shape of the building is kind of contrary to its application of material, right? Because the use of bricks is usually associated with more geometrical shapes, but your studio manages to combine the bricks with an organic shape, probably, you know, furniture. And we also read that you took inspiration from the floral motifs of Alt Niveau. How does this go together?
We have a kind of a tendency of making organic shapes. And since the time where computers were not available, we had a lot of compasses and we were making a lot of curves and difficult shapes in our drawings because we loved very much the shapes of reality, of nature. And this shape is full of curves, is full of complex geometries. So we were always trying to make an architecture like that. In the past, it was more difficult because it was not so easy to have instruments to translate that from drawings to reality. But it was possible, as Gaudi is showing very clearly. But now it's even more possible because you have a lot of instruments that gives a kind of a very immediate translation from complex geometries from drawings to reality. No? So this is possible. And we love the modernistic architecture, which is totally inspired by nature. You know, these people like Gaudi, Domenechi Montaner, Jujol, they were kind of making a competition to design an architecture which was as much as possible looking like nature. It's as if they had this kind of adoration for woods, flowers, leaves, everything that can grow in a beautiful natural environment. And they were kind of wishing their architecture to be an extension of that. We have learned from these masters. And one of these masters, Domenechi Montaner, built the hospital where we were putting the new pavilion. And actually that hospital, I think it's not so well known, and it should be because it's one of the masterpieces of Europe. And it's an incredible piece of architecture, an incredible piece of art. And it was commissioned by someone who was a very rich industrial who decided at the end of his life to give an hospital to poor people. But he had a very clear idea. He asked Domenechi Montaner to design the most beautiful hospital in the world because he wanted beauty to heal the poor people arriving there. So he designed and built an incredible, beautiful architectural piece, which is an hospital. And it's full of pavilions, all of them with a lot of decoration, with a lot of ceramic, a lot of colors, and incredible. And this was really serving with the purpose of being an hospital. And you can imagine the poor people who could go there finding themselves in such a beautiful environment and feeling, oh, wow, we arrived in a palace. And the garden is very important. So we said we are so lucky, we have to build next to this hospital. And so we were getting inspiration from that. And there's so much to get inspiration from.
Sounds like that should be a stereotype hospital for the future.
Yeah, it could be a good idea. Let's say the new hospital, which was built now we have on one side the old hospital of Domenetti Montaner. On the other side, a new hospital was built. It's a very beautiful hospital, I have to say, but still it's an hospital. So you have this feeling of having a lot of people, of being aseptic. The lights are kind of aseptic, so they are very cold. There is this kind of feeling that you don't like. And maybe what we have to discover in the future is also how to make hospital a little more inclusive, a little more warm to the user.
I mean, the word hospitality includes the word hospital.
Exactly.
Actually, you associate a lot more warm thoughts with the word hospitality than you do with the word hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. For example, the effort they did with Hospital San Paolo 100 years ago with Domenico Montaner, it was this kind of effort of transforming a hospital in a beautiful construction. Mm-hmm. And maybe in the recent years, we were really going more into the functional point or into the aseptical point. And I think we have to be able to put everything together, but not forget beauty as part of the therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. Benedetta, you have been a member of the jury of the Pritzker Prize for some time now, so which is, a fantastic honor, I would say. How does it feel for you being there, just like deciding about these fantastic architectural projects? And who else will surprise us in the upcoming future?
I'm totally honored to have been a member of the jury Pritzker Prize for such a long time. Now I think I will have to resign soon because, it's like the guest who never goes away.
No, but maybe it's just like as a jury member, you can't receive a Pritzker Prize on your own,
Yeah, but I don't want it. I don't want it because if you're there wishing, maybe they will give me the Pritzker Prize, then you become always angry when you don't receive it. I really don't think I want it. I don't think prizes are so important. And I shouldn't say that to the Pritzkers.
We won't tell them.
I won't tell them. I don't know. I think it's much better to have a kind of a try to maintain your architecture, your art as pure as possible and do it for other reasons than receiving a prize. And it's much better. I know so many architects who never received the Pritzker Prize and deserved it very much. There are many reasons why you're not in the list. And for example, here in Barcelona, in Catalonia, there were such fantastic architects, and some of them are kind of not known at all outside Spain, and also very little in Spain, and they were genius, like, for example, Coderre. And so there's no need to receive a prize all the time. So I'm happy to be in the jury, and what I love about the jury is that you're surrounded by very intelligent people. And I'm learning a lot, and I never know who will be the next. And we don't know, and this is nice to say. And that's it. We are just thinking and trying to do our best. And maybe we make a lot of injustice, but the prize is not about justice. The prize is about indicating a line. This is kind of saying, we like that. Maybe it's a very secondary thing, but we think that maybe this secondary thing could be important for humanity. So it's more like that.
How long have you actually been a member?
I don't remember very well. I think 7 years now. So I have to resign. I have to resign.
So we have to correct initiative sentence that you recently joined the jury. It's not recently. It has been longer.
No, it's not recently. Because the jury in principle is not recently. No, it's not recent. And this jury, in principle, is a jury which is changing. I like very much. I think the Pritzker is full of fantastic rituals. And they little by little invented the rituals because, I mean, it's 40 years ago that they invented the prize. So one of the rituals is about the changing of the jury and also the composition of the jury. The jury usually is not only with architects, but also other people who can be laterally interested in architecture and who introduce a different point of view. And I think this is great. And the members are kind of staying a little bit, then someone will substitute, then someone else. So there's always someone who has an experience, someone who is new, and it's a very beautiful rhythm.
That's fantastic. Benedetta, if you could choose with whom you would have lunch tomorrow, who would it be? Very spontaneously.
I love that question.
Well, I don't know. Can I choose among people who are not here anymore in this world? Or
of course. Of course, anybody.
Anyone you like.
Maybe I would love to have lunch with Rick again. But usually when he was having lunch, he was kind of looking at television and was saying, no, you're forbidden to look at television. And then he was switching off television and then thinking about himself. So maybe now that we were thinking about the Pritzker Prize and the fantastic intelligent jury members, I would love to have lunch with Ratan Tata, who was one of the members. He already resigned, and he was fantastic. He's a fantastic person, and he's so intelligent, so generous, so dedicated to the others. And he's one of these people who really believes that architecture can change the world. He's a wow. But he's in India now. We are not traveling anymore, so...
Maybe you should have a digital lunch somehow, you know, just like decide to cook together, everyone at his own space, and then like just have lunch together through a digital way.
You're right. I should organize things a little like that.
Yeah, concerning all this corona situation we are living in, what is your wish for our future?
Of course, I wish that tomorrow we will wake up and say, oh, listen, this thing is fantastic to make coronavirus being totally ineffective. And so we forget about it in 24 hours. Do you like my idea?
We love it.
Short-term future, that's the best thing.
Exactly.
We love it. Yeah, amazing wish. I mean, thank you so much for spending your time with us, Benedetta. It's always a pleasure to see you, to speak to you, to listen to you. We really appreciate it. It's an honor for us spending our lunchtime with you today. So...
Thank you, Diana and Caterina. This was wonderful to be together with you too and to have this lovely conversation.
Great. Many thanks also to our listeners. If there are any topics or speakers you are especially interested in, then please let us know at architects@jung.de. We heartily invite you to the upcoming Jung Architecture Talks podcast. Look them up on jung.de/architects and tune in.